Well, I'll admit that this scripture brings about many, many questions for me. I mean, what does it mean that heaven will pass away with a dreadful noise and everything's going to be destroyed? So with all the questions that this brings up, I also love some of the things that this passage says to us today. We've been waiting. The waiting room has been our theme this Advent season. And even though Advent has flown by and hasn't felt much like a time of waiting, I've thought a lot about waiting during this time. During all the craziness of Christmas. Whether we're waiting for Christmas or for results or for traffic or in a line at a store or waiting for a guest or for dinner or waiting for our iPad to recharge when it freezes up on you like it did a minute ago, or whether we're waiting to be through waiting. Waiting can be frustrating. One of the worst waiting for me is waiting on the phone. You know the kind I'm talking about. You get a recording. The recording says to be sure to listen to all of the options because the options have recently changed. So for me, I have to listen to all the options because they might have changed for me and I might not get the right one. So I listen to all of the options just in case, and I pick the one that I think is the one I need, and you push that button, and then there are six more choices, only to push that button, and you either get put on hold where you listen to some really boring music, or you get transferred to somebody who says, I'm sorry, but you've got the wrong department, let me transfer you, or even worse, you've reached the wrong department, here's the number you need to call. Can you relate to that type of frustration? Can I hear an amen?
Amen.
Yes. When you finally get to talk to that person, when you finally get that person on the phone, I am already so frustrated that I'm not necessarily a nice person. I do not believe I have talked to any of you on the phone like that, so. But all the while, that poor person that I'm talking to has probably been dealing with another person and another person and another person that's gone through the same thing that I've gone through. It is not their fault that I am frustrated. They've been doing their job. They didn't put me on the merry-go-round, but they get my frustration full force. I think about that when I read this scripture today. I think about the times that I get frustrated with God for not doing things on my schedule. The times I cry out, God, are you listening? And God, are you doing anything about this? A day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is like a day. Oh, if we could only have that feeling about time. Why are we in such a hurry all the time? Just this morning, I'm sitting in my office trying to go through my sermon before the children sing, and Kevin goes running down the hall, and I hear him yell, I've got to turn the stressometer down. Didn't you? Why do we get so rushed that our stressometer is turned to the max? Not just now at Christmas. If we're honest, we're like that all the time, aren't we? Why is it that we're in such a hurry? Is it fear that we aren't going to get everything done that we want to in our lifetime? Is it fear that someone else will beat us to something? Is it fear that we won't get enough of something if we don't hurry? Is it fear that we won't have the opportunity if we don't get there first? Is it fear that we won't meet someone else's deadline and that will cost us somehow? It kind of all boils down to one thing, doesn't it? Fear. We rush around because we're afraid. We call it frustrated, but it's really, once again, just fear that causes our frustration. We hurry around, we rush around, trying to make things happen on our time because we're afraid. But the scripture tells us that God could really care less about time. There's no deadlines put on us. It's not about having exactly this much time to do something and then God sets off a timer and done, no more chances. I've talked before about my rather worrisome upbringing when it came to theology. But I remember going every summer to a revival in Oklahoma for young people. It was called the Twilight, I think. Why do you lose things like that? One of the churches in Midwest City where I live would rent out the football stadium. And they would bring in big name music people like Evie and Sandy Patty and the Imperials. And I know some of you don't even know who those people are. But they were big names when I was in high school and college. And so they would have this big revival. And I remember vividly one night hearing this preacher that would get up, and he did this every summer, it's the same preacher. And he would get up and he would talk about the fact that you have to make a choice about God. And that God would only give you so much time, and then, boom, that was it. God would give up on you. And I would watch, you know, hundreds flood down to make decisions. And I can remember just sitting there thinking, this is not my God. This is not my God. And I had friends who would, out of fear, make these huge life decisions. But it wasn't the kind of relationship that I knew. And then I discovered this verse. God is the patient one. We're the one frustrated by waiting, not God. God wants us to live holy lives, to live lives that are pure and pleasing in His sight. God is waiting on us to change our hearts and our lives, and He's patient. I think about all the things that go through my mind when I'm waiting. What I sometimes might occasionally, when it's been a really long day, what I might think about that person who speeds up beside me when they know that 183 goes from 4 lanes to 3 lanes. And they could have gotten over like the rest of us, but they speed all the way up to the front to move over. And I think about what I might usually think or maybe sometimes say in my out loud voice. And I think, God, how can you be patient with me? How can you wait for me to clean up my act and not lose your patience with me? I don't deserve that kind of patience. I know how I should live, and yet day after day, I disappoint. Isn't it a relief that there's no timetable on when or how we are to react to Christ? To Christ, a day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 is like a day. He's waiting on me. Just as I've been claiming all this time to wait on Him. But unlike me, He waits patiently. I admit I need to learn from that. This scripture tells us to wait, making every effort to be found by Him in peace, pure and faultless. Isn't that how Christ came to us as a baby? Pure and faultless in peace. We don't always want to accept Him that way, do we? We really sometimes want the stressometer day. But may we learn each and every day to live a little more in peace. To turn down that stressometer just a little bit, to be patient and to wait. The time is soon for the baby. The time is right, because it's not our time, it's God's time. Amen and amen.